people than with the waters. Am I wrong, wrong, wrong? What did you say today? 52,000. 50, almost 53,000 people. Come on. Lives have been restored, healed, set free, and set on fire for the kingdom of God. Amen. He and his amazing wife, Paula, have been married since 1993 and have two beautiful daughters, Madison and Carson. Marty brings the word in a way that's real, practical, and insightful. Tonight, I just want you guys, let's open up our hearts. Amen. Lean in and be expecting to receive what God has for you. Amen?
Amen.
Marty?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
There it goes, sir. Did you like this?
Thank you. Thank you so much. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's give the Lord a hand clap. That's why we came. Thank you. Thank you. Just want to take a moment to honor Pastor Tammy for the invitation to come and make it all the way from little old Gainesville, Georgia. That's where we call home. 15 minutes up the road, we serve on staff at a small church called Christ Fellowship Church. And my wife and I, my girlfriend of 36 years now, would you stand this caller and greet everybody? That's my girlfriend of 36 years, and I'm going to continue to date my mate.
Yes. Good.
Hello, somebody. That's been my girlfriend, still my girlfriend, all these years. And so the world tells you to marry the one you fell in love with.
That's right.
I would say fall in love with the one you married.
Amen.
Fall in love with the one you marry.
Good.
Well, I think we have a picture of my kids, our kids. I didn't do it alone, obviously. Not my kids, our kids. There's our beautiful family. Over to the left, that's Harrison. That's our son-in-law. And then Madison. My goodness, isn't she lovely?
Yes.
And then Ball Guy. And then Paula. Oh, my Lord Jesus. Ah,
yes.
Wow. Ah, wow. My. Woo, Lord. And then Carson, our youngest little girl right there, so beautiful, so gorgeous. And Tate, this young man is on staff at his dad's church in Florida, Eustis, Florida. And he's a musician, and he and Carson have fallen in love. And so we're just praying that young boy in Jesus' name, into our family. And so just a wonderful, wonderful young man. So that's our family, and the Bible says to know those who labor among you. So I just want you to know a little bit of who we are and where we're from. And that's our relationships. And I'm a college dropout. I dropped out of college in 1990. I was able to major in Bud Light and marijuana. I'm telling the truth. Just telling the truth. That was in 1990. And I played all the intramural sports, but I don't remember going to class. I just paid a lot of money to play sports and shoot basketball and play flag football, drink a lot of beer, and smoke a lot of weed. Y'all may slow down. Y'all may keep it G-rated, I guess. I don't know. We just keep it really, real, real in Dawsonville. We just tell you like it is. I mean, I thought we'd be ready up here in Randall, Washington, but you guys are like, oh my God, he just said marijuana. Oh Lord, he just said, listen, did you ever think you'd go to church and hear somebody say we have undies for you? I never dreamed I'd go to church and somebody say we have undies downstairs for you. Okay, welcome to church. I don't know. What kind of church is this? They got underwear downstairs. But man, when the Lord is moving and doing a new thing, you never know what's going to happen. So we are blessed to be a part of a wonderful church there in Dawsonville. And I would love to tell you that God has always been moving in Dawsonville, Georgia, in the fire water. I'll talk about that in just a moment. But he hasn't always. In 2017, we were ready to quit the ministry. My senior pastor, who led me and my wife to the Lord in December of 1993, we have served with Pastor Todd and Pastor Karen Smith, our spiritual parents, for 33 years now. That's unheard of in and of itself, because you know, you always hear people leave the church because, well, the church just not feeding me anymore.
Yeah.
Do you know the people that we call, you know the name we give people that we have to constantly feed? Babies.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
The Bible, Saul said, feed yourself, stir yourself up. Saul, who was one of the greatest Christian murderers, who ended up getting wrecked by God and doing some pretty amazing things, he said, feed yourself. So, anyway. 2017, we were ready to quit the ministry. We were ready to quit everything. I was ready to go back and dig ditches. I had a business for 3 years before I went into full-time ministry, and very successful septic tank business. I don't know if you guys have septic tanks up here. I had a septic tank business for 3.5 years. My wife never put her nose in my business. The jokes don't get any better, so if you come back tomorrow night, they're going to be lame as they were tonight, so just get used to that. But yeah, it was my main job. It wasn't a number two. So I don't know. It's terrible. It's terrible. Who was the gentleman playing bass tonight? That's all I want to know. Who was playing bass?
Slim.
That's his real name, Slim?
Yeah, that's what
okay.
He called him.
Okay. Because I don't know if I can go to another church as we travel. If somebody doesn't play the bass like that, I'll probably walk up on stage, grab the bass, break it, throw it out. I don't know. I'm like, if you don't play and worship like that, just get out. Man, where's Slim? Slim, listen, that joker was playing that thing like, I don't know, some people entertain. Like when we travel and preach, some people you can tell they're professional musicians. I want worshipers. I want people like these that just get into it and Slim over here just like, bam, bam, bam. I'm like, what? He turned around to the drum, he's like, baga. Boom, 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 boom. I'm like, give me some Slim in my life. I need Slim in my life. This man knows how to worship. But Slim, when I was standing right there, I could see Slim back in the day. I don't know if he did, but I could see him back in the day playing in bars. Smoke-filled bars. Everybody drinking like hard shots of whiskey. Smoking pot. Just, and I could, did you ever think you go to church where you talk about undies and pot? But I can see Slim now saved,
amen,
rescued, amen, snatched out of the pit of hell, and worshiping Jesus on a Thursday night,
yeah,
and we're drinking some new wine.
That's right.
And Slim's just getting after it. Years ago, when I got born again in 93, I would always hear traveling evangelists, pastors, teachers, prophets. I would hear people say all the time, I heard the Lord say. I'd be in services where they would say, stand up, young man. Thus saith the Lord. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
I thought maybe it was just me, but I never heard from God. I was like, Lord, are you mad at me? Like, these people say, oh, God came into my room and spoke, and I heard him with my two ears. I've never heard God speak like that, ever. And so the first couple of years of my life, I thought God was mad at me. He spoke to everybody else but me. Or maybe you had to be part of the elite team, like the VIP club, where you could only speak to the certain ones who spent like 40 hours a day in prayer and meditation and fasting, you know, 31 days out of the month. And I'm like, God, it's just not me. You know? But then the more I searched out the scriptures, the more I studied Samuel and Eli, really Samuel and Eli, I began to see that I was more like Samuel than Eli. Eli was the man of God who was in the house of God, and the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, was over there. And the Bible says Eli made his bed in another place. My God, that'll preach. That's not my message, so don't hold me to that. That'll preach. Too many churches, too many men and women of God making their bed in another place.
Amen.
When God's presence is over here.
Come on, come on.
And Eli's over there.
Yeah.
And Samuel, the little boy who the Bible says did not know the Lord yet, was beside the presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant. And the Bible says he heard early in the morning, in the dark, maybe 2, 3 in the morning, he heard God speak to this boy, heard him speak. And he jumps up and runs to Eli. He's like, hey, did you call me? What do you need? Eli's like, boy, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. Go to bed. Okay. And he goes back. And he hears the voice of God again. And he gets up and he goes to Eli. He's like, why do you keep calling me? Eli's like, I have not called you. Go to sleep, boy. You're having some dreams or something. So you know the story. Samuel, he hears again. He goes back. Eli's like, oh, I get it now. I know who it is. If you hear the voice again, say these words. Speak, Lord. Your servant's listening. So he goes back to the place where Samuel made his bed by the presence of God, by the Ark of the Covenant. He hears it again. Eli, he jumps up. He says, speak, Lord. Your servant listens. God spoke to a young boy. God was speaking in his house, but the man of God didn't hear. Why? He was doing his own thing in another place. I don't want to keep doing the same thing we've always done, getting something, the same results every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Thursday night. I don't want to keep doing church the same old way.
Amen.
A lot of mad people screaming to the top of their lungs and should have bought a Honda, I bought a Kia. I don't know what you're saying. Show me the power and presence of God. That's what I want. Show me people getting born again and healed, delivered, and I'm all in. But we just keep preaching about things that God used to do, but he quit doing. I don't want that kind of God. I want the God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He moves and he's healing and delivering people. That's the God that I'm going to preach about tonight. He still heals. He's still saving, still delivering. Man, I want that. I want that. Mark chapter 5. All in the trying to hear the voice of God. It took me 5 years to write my very first solo book. I dropped out of college because they told me you're going to have to take a speech class. I said, I don't speak in front of anybody. 1990, I'll never forget it. I said, my advisor brought me in. She said, you're going to have to take a speech class. I said, I don't speak in front of anybody. Do you hear me? I didn't do it in middle school. I don't ever remember being in middle school or high school standing up giving an oral report. I don't remember doing it ever. Matter of fact, I remember skipping school. I don't endorse that, but anyway, it happened to me. I skipped school. I would be sick. I would run out of the classroom. I wouldn't sit in it. It was my greatest fear in life, public speaking. I said, I'll never do that. So she said, well, you have to graduate. To graduate, you have to take the speech class. Let's go ahead and sign you up to get it over with. I said, the devil is a lie. I'm leaving today. And I walked out of her office and I walked out of school, left that college campus, and I never went back. Of a fear of public speaking. But while I was on that college campus, after I got done playing that Star Wars pinball game, I love pinball, playing that Star Wars pinball game, I remember going to sit down with my friends in the cafeteria of the student center of Gainesville College. And I'm sitting there with my two dumb friends, and I'm dumber than they are. Just dumb as rocks. And we're just sitting there talking, cutting up, just talking about marijuana and drinking and underwear in the downstairs of the church. I don't know what we're talking about. But I saw these four girls come walking through the cafeteria. And I saw that woman back there, my wife, walk through. I was like, whoa! My God, who is that? They're like, bro, she's way out of your league. She's way out of your league. I'm like, I'm going to tell you right now. I said, I'm going to marry that girl someday. My friend John Lofton, he looked at me and said, psh. He looked at her, he looked at me, he's like, psh, you're an idiot. I said, I might be an idiot, but I'm going to marry that girl someday. Guess what, John Lofton? So before I dropped out of college, I found her, and the Lord saw fit to save us in 93, and I've been preaching, telling everybody about him since that day. He sent us all over the world, Honduras, Seoul, Korea, Bogota, Colombia, India, Haiti. We've been all over the nation speaking in middle schools, high schools, prisons. My God, send us into the prisons. I love. They sent me down to Honduras in a prison of 687 Hispanic convicts, And some of those were the worst drug dealers, murderers, and rapists. They send me in. They're like, hey, you know you're one of the first white men to ever go in this prison? I was like, huh? They said, you're one of the first ones. I said, all right. We go through, and the guard says, do you know if you go beyond this door, there's three more doors. We don't go inside the prison with you. When we go in there, you're within 687 inmates, and it'll take us a good 2 to 3 minutes to get inside. Do you know what can happen to you in 2 to 3 minutes? Yes. Are you willing to take that risk and go in there? We have to have a yes or a no. Let's escort you back out. Or do you want to go in? I said, take me in. They said, do you understand that these men could take your life and we'll do everything we can to help you, but do you understand these men can take your life? I said, no, sir. They can't take my life. Amen. I'm a dead man. Hallelujah. In December of 1993, I became crucified with Christ. I no longer live. The life I do live now is by Him and Him alone. So I said, if they kill me, the faster I get to stand before Him anyway. So I went in there. And fear tried to get on me. I'm looking around all these men. They have no shirts on. They're tatted up. Their faces tatted. Their bald heads tatted up. They're jacked up. They're looking at me. I'm like, devil, you are defeated. You're a liar and the father of all lies. Amen. So what did this old white boy from Gainesville, Georgia do? I laid that microphone down. I went and sat right in the middle of 687 of them and said, what's your name? What's your name? What's your name? How can I pray for you? Jesus loves you, bled and died for you. I just got right in the middle of them. Before you know it, we're all high-fiving, hugging, crying on each other. I felt like a prisoner with them. I'm like, well, I'm going to stay and hang out. But I got to go home to my wife. So, but I remember all those years of not being able to hear from God. And then finally getting into the Word and understanding how He speaks to us. Sometimes He will speak audibly. I know people that have genuinely heard the voice of God in bedrooms, in their car, where He speaks through the ears. I've just never heard Him that way. But that's one of the ways He speaks. He also speaks through His Word. He speaks through other people. He speaks through prophets. He speaks through teachers. I can listen to a song and God speaks. I can listen to a song and my heart be stirred and I start weeping. I can listen to a podcast. I can read a billboard. I can watch a movie and God begin to download a message to me. I can hear Him everywhere. You can walk out in nature. My God, look at the mountains. Watch how the trees just worship. Look at the elk. We're driving over last night. There's a herd of elk over there. I'm like, wow, what the heck is that? We don't have those back home. Paula's like, I think it's a horse. She didn't say that. I'm like, my God. There were like 100 of those things. I'm like, man, this is awesome. If you don't see God in all creation, come on. It takes more faith to doubt than it does believe. Yeah. But I just learned how the voice of God begins to speak to people. And so I wrote a book. It's called Echo Heaven. Listen, the rest of my days, this is all I want to do.
Amen.
I don't want to tell people what I think, what my opinions are. I just want to echo heaven in everything God says. If it's in His Word, I want to repeat that to His people. And so we wrote this book. It's $20. It's back there on the back. We got 25, 30 copies of it. That book right there helped me in the revival to begin to hear the voice of God and begin to speak with the 1 Corinthians 12:8, the gift of the word of knowledge. I'd never heard about that gift. I didn't know what that gift was. I saw people that would flow in that gift. I was like, man, that's amazing. How did he know that? How did she know that? But I'd never operated in that. Until the revival, then it really started taking off. And I remember I was in Martinsville, Indiana, and I'm standing up there preaching to a men's conference. There's like 75, 80 men in the room in Martinsville, Indiana. And I said, right in the middle of my message, the Lord just stops me. And if He does it tonight, I'm just going to stop and I'm just going to release it. I don't have a polished message. I'm not a professional preacher. I just say, Lord, if you can use a donkey like you did for Naaman. Yep. Hee-haw, hee-haw, hee-haw. I'm preaching and the Lord said, stop right now. So I stopped. I'm waiting. And everybody's like, what's He doing? I'm like, I don't know. Waiting. They're getting nervous. I wasn't. I'm like, Lord, this happens to me all the time. All of a sudden, I heard 1, 2, 7, 6, 5. I said, what does 1, 2, 7, 6, 5 mean to anybody in the room? And this man over the right, he's like, he grabs onto the seats, starts weeping. I said, yeah, I just heard 1, 2, 7, 6, 5. What does that mean to anybody? And this man, I didn't see him, Scott Tidwell, who was with me, starts looking around. He goes, Marty, he's right over here. I said, who is it? Cut the lights up. It was real dark in there. I said, cut the lights up. I said, it's you. Come here. He came down the front. I said, 1, 2, 7, 6, 5. Have I ever met you? He's like, no, sir. No, sir. I said, who are you? He said, I drove 2 hours to get here because my friend said that you guys were coming from the North Georgia Revival and I wanted to be here to hang out with some men. I said, what does 12765 mean to you? I just heard it from the Lord. 12765. He said, my father just passed away December 7th at 6:05 p.m. 12, 7th day, 6:05. He said, how in the world would you know 12765? I said, there's no way in the world I could know. But God knows. Yeah, I said, what does 12765 mean to you and your dad? He said, man, me and my dad didn't have a good relationship. And I was on my way. Hadn't talked to my dad in 4.5 years. Was on my way to talk to my dad when he died. I didn't get the chance to reconcile with my dad. And he just sat there and wept. Grown man, probably in his 60s, just wept and wept. He said he passed away 12/7, December 7th. At 6:05 p.m. I said, the Lord wants you to know He's not mad at you. The Lord wants you to know He's not mad at you. I said, and God wants to touch you tonight and soften your heart. There's forgiveness and grace for you tonight. There's mercy over you. We're in North City, Illinois. I'm preaching. There's probably 500-600 people in the room. I don't know these people. We're just up there preaching. Paula was with me. All of a sudden, right in the middle of my message, I see like this hologram of a cherry just start floating around the room. Like you can reach out and grab it. You know what I'm saying? Those hologram-looking things, the three-dimensional things. Like it just started floating. A cherry with a brown stem and a green leaf just started floating in front of me. I'm like, okay, Lord. I said, hey, does this mean anything to anybody in the room? I just saw a cherry with a brown stem and a green leaf. Nobody moved. I'm like, okay. I just saw a cherry with a brown stem and a green leaf. Anybody in the room? Nobody? Okay. And I just went back to preaching. That's just what you do. I'm not tied to the words He gives me. I'm just a donkey delivering the message. That's all I am. So we get done. We're baptizing. They got about 5 little swimming pools up here. We're baptizing people, and I'm walking around. We're going from pool to pool, and all of a sudden, this girl comes up about 1.5 hours later. Comes up, and she goes, it was me. I said, what was you? She said, when you were preaching, you said something about a red cherry, brown stem, and a green leaf. It's me. I said, what are you talking about? She said, when I was 12 years old, my family and I went to church. I love God. My family loved God. I was helping with the kids' ministry and doing all kinds of fun things. And all of a sudden we moved, relocated, and I hung out with some different friends that weren't good for me. And they started talking about going to get a tattoo. She said, so when I was 13, I told my parents, hey, I'm going to go get a tattoo with my friends. And mom and dad's like, the devil is a lie. You ain't getting no tattoo up in my house. Now, this is work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This was just for her. She said, my mom and dad said, you ain't getting no tattoo. Not in my house. And she said, okay. On her 14th birthday, her friend said, we're going. You going with us? She said, yeah. She went and got the tattoo. Came home, all hell broke loose in the house. She still stayed with her mom and dad, but the relationship was so fractured. Her family was in disarray and tormented. They weren't as close as they used to be. And she said, when you said red cherry, brown stem, and green leaf, that's me. I said, what do you mean? She said, I went and got a tattoo that day. It's right here on my thigh. This girl was wearing jeans. No way to see what was underneath. She said, I have a tattoo right here on my thigh. And she said, I sinned against my parents. I think God's mad at me and my parents. I think they still resent me. I said, sweetheart, God's not mad at you. He's mad about you. We're going to pray right now, and we're going to ask God for wisdom on how to go back and address our parents. I said, have you ever told them that you were sorry for doing that? She said, no. No. We don't really talk much. I said, you're going to go back. This is the biblical way to do it. You're going to go back and honor. The Bible says, honor your mother and father. Go back and say, hey, I'm guilty. I did it. I got the tattoo. Why else would God give me a picture of a cherry with a brown stem and a green leaf if He didn't want her to have her family restored? So she went back and the family's wonderful. That's what happens when you hear the voice of God. This book will help you understand how God speaks, how you can get the static out of your life. You know there's static in our lives? Yep. It's hard to hear God when you're watching crazy stuff on Netflix.
Amen. Yeah.
It's hard to hear from God when you're talking to your buddies and they're talking about who they slept with last weekend and they're talking about how drunk they got. It's hard to hear from God when you surround yourself with static. We got to learn to get the static out. Any of y'all over 50 that remember those cars? You had the little radio dial that had the little orange or the red?
Yep.
Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You had to turn that thing if you went too far past it. You'd hear static again. You'd have to go back to your home or something, something, and then you go past it, you're like, ah, static. And you have to sit there and look at that dumb radio. Y'all know what I'm talking about. They made it so difficult. But you had to get that dial just right. I want to help you get that dial just right. I want to help you get that static out where you can hear from heaven, and then you can go echo whatever it says.
Good word. Come on.
All right, that's enough of that. Here. Apologize. So, you're going to help me with this stuff? Hey, we got some things we're going to show on the slide tonight. And so y'all just bear with us. I've got some testimonies. If you just put it back there. From what was your name?
Bonnie.
Yeah, it is. Are you at Mark chapter 5? I gave y'all like 15 minutes to get to Mark chapter 5. If you're not there yet, I can't help you. Mark chapter 5. This is where Jesus had just left a man in the Gadarenes who was tormented by thousands of demons. Jesus just left that man in Mark chapter 5 in the Gadarenes and healed that man, delivered that man. And the Bible says when Jesus left him, he was seated, fully clothed, and in his right mind. That's a message for another day. But that man was healed and delivered. Everybody else was running from that man. Jesus ran to that man. Everybody else was running to the village and to the town and running away from the man who was bound up. But Jesus went to that man. He leaves that man and he's on his way to Jairus' house. Jairus had a daughter that was sick unto death. Okay, so I want you to get the full picture. You can't understand the text until you know the context.
Amen.
So Jesus just left that man that everybody else was running from, Jesus ran to. He delivers that man. That man's like, "Woo! I'm going with you." And Jesus said, "You can't go with me." Read your Bible, Mark 5.
Yeah.
Jesus told the man, "You cannot follow me." He called everybody else to follow him, right?
Yep.
But in Mark 5, he tells one, "You can't go with me." The man's like, "I wanted to go with you." Jesus is like, no, because I need to send you to 10 cities so you can turn 10 cities upside down. That man goes and preaches in Decapolis, 10 cities, and turns that thing right side up for the glory of God. Jesus said, "I'd love for you to come with me, but I also need you to go preach because there's a lot of people that need the kingdom of heaven to come." He leaves that man. He's on his way to Jairus' house, and all of a sudden he's walking through a crowd of people. Now here's where we go. Mark chapter 5. Are you there? Look at verse, I don't know. Where are you going to go, Lord? First of all, get to Mark 5. I just tore my page. It's okay. Look at verse, 21. Is that where we are?
Yep. Yeah.
Look at verse 21. Jesus got into the boat again, went back to the other side of the lake where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. This man Jairus fell at Jesus' feet, pleading fervently with him, "My little daughter is dying." Watch this. She's dying. Is she dead yet?
No.
She's dying. You see that? She's dying, he said. "Please come lay your hands on her. Heal her so she can live." Jesus went with him. Watch this. All the people followed, crowding around him. Verse 25. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years. How many years? A long time. 12 years. With constant bleeding. She had an issue of blood. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors and over the years had spent everything she had to pay them, but she actually got worse, y'all. Verse 27. She heard about Jesus. So she came up behind him through the crowd and touched his robe, for she thought to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Immediately, verse 29, somebody say immediately.
Immediately.
Don't you love the immediatelys of God? I love the suddenlies of the Lord. Tonight, we're going to have some immediatelys and suddenlies.
Amen.
Who in the room has been suffering with migraines lately? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Have any of you talked to me about suffering with migraines? Nobody? I haven't talked to anybody about migraines. Tonight, somebody's going to get delivered, if not everybody, of those migraines, and may they never return to you ever again. Ever. I believe that. I love the immediatelys and suddenlies of God. So immediately, watch this, verse 29. Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of this terrible condition. Jesus realized at once the healing power had gone out of him, so he turned around to the crowd and said, "Who touched my robe. His disciples said to him, look at this crowd of people. Look at these people pressing you. How can you ask who touched me? But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and told him what she had done. One version said she told Jesus the truth. I love that. All he's asking for is you to tell him the truth. That's all he's asking for. He said to her, Jesus said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering, it's over. It's over. If you go on and read, I don't have time. I gotta hurry. If you go on and read, you will see that in Mark 5, when the Bible says they came to Jesus, Jairus came to Jesus. The Bible says the little girl of Jairus was dying. If you go on and read later, after Jesus is stopped by this woman with an issue of blood, she touches the hem of his garment. Watch this. She didn't just touch the hem of his garment. When she touched him, she touched him. When the woman said, if I can just but touch the hem of his garment. Yeah. Does your version say hem of his garment?
Yep. Yeah,
hem of his garment. The hem, H-E-M. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well of my infirmity. Yeah. That's the kind of faith she had. But the problem was, when she touched him, she didn't touch the hem, she touched the hem. He said, somebody touched me. The disciples were like, everybody's touching me. He said, no. Somebody touched me because power came out of me. When that's happening, this is crazy, y'all. When that's happening, while that's happening, Jairus' daughter dies. If I were Jairus, I would be like, hey! What do you mean? I got to you first. My daughter was dying. Now she's dead. Jesus is like, no, she's just sleeping. Remember Lazarus?
Yeah.
Mary and Martha were like, well, you should have came. You should have came. We told you 2 days ago, Jesus. He waited 4 days. The Bible says Lazarus was 4 days dead, and one version said, behold, he stinketh. That's what it says. He wasn't just dead, he was good and dead. Jesus, sometimes we'll wait until it's the last. It's almost like I've hit rock bottom. And Jesus is like, now I'm ready. Because if it wasn't close, and if it wasn't almost to the point of death, then anybody else could have took credit for what I'm about to do. Jesus said, I gotta let Lazarus die until he stinks so I can go in. And when I call him forth, nobody else will be able to say, well... You know, back in those days, rabbis, the teachers, they all knew that the spirit could come back in people that had died one day. If you had died, they didn't have embalming like we do today. If they had died, they could let them sit. And sometimes the people come back to life after 24 hours. Even 2 full days, people could come back from the dead. That was common. But 3 days, probably not a good, maybe a 5% chance. 4 days, no way. No way anybody, nobody in history has ever come back from a 4-day dead until Jesus shows up. And when everybody said, no way he could come back, Jesus says, Yahweh, Lazarus, come forth. So Jesus is being tugged on by this woman. And he turns around and he said, who touched me? Can I tell you tonight, there's people in the room, you are one touch away. Not another song, not another sermon, one touch. One point of contact. Why is he moving in water? I have no idea. Why did God give our pastor, senior pastor, a vision in 2018 of fire being on the water? Pastor Todd is walking across the altar. The baptism is empty. We baptized 4 times a year, typically, for new converts. He's walking across the platform. He looks. The baptistry is empty, but all of a sudden he has an open vision. He's a former Southern Baptist pastor who has never had an open vision in his life. Ever. Ever. He's walking across in 2018. He sees the empty baptistry, and all of a sudden he sees it full of water. His eyes are open. He's not dreaming. He sees it full of water with a strip of fire on top. You remember the old action movie that had a strip of fire you could light? He saw that. 8 to 10 seconds, he saw that. And it stopped. It left. The pool's empty again. He was looking around like, did anybody else see this? Pool's empty again. Strip of fire's gone. Water's gone. And the Lord said to him, Todd, get ready. I'm about to start baptizing in Holy Spirit fire. We had no idea what that meant. But now we understand. It means 53,000 people almost getting healed, saved, delivered, marriages restored. Crazy things you would never see. We're seeing it everywhere.
Amen.
Why? Because God's moving in the earth. Amen. Why is He using water? I don't know. All I know is in 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman got sick with leprosy. He went to the man of God, Elisha. Elisha said, hey, here's how you're going to be healed. Go over to the Jordan and dip 7 times. Naaman got offended. Read your Bible, 2 Kings 5. Naaman said, I don't want to do that. He said, couldn't you just wave your like evangelistic hand, prophetic hand? He said, couldn't you just wave your hand over my leprosy and it go away? Elisha's like, no. That's foolish. The Lord said, go dip 7 times. Elisha's like, I don't want to dip 7 times. And he goes on to say, why do I have to go in the Jordan? Why can't I go to those rivers over here? Aren't those waters over there any good? And Elisha's like, yeah, but God didn't say do that. There's a lot of people doing good things that God never said to do. We were doing a lot of good things that God never said to do. Why do we do it? Because other churches are doing it. Other people look at, make it look good, so we're going to try to do it. Just do what God told you to do.
Amen.
Elisha said, if you go dip 7 times, you'll be healed. Well, okay, well, I'm mad and I don't want to go, but I'm going anyway. Okay. All right. Goes and dips 7 times, God heals him. God used water back then, Old Testament. John chapter 5, water. Stirred the water once a year.
Yeah.
Read the Bible. Once a year, first person to get in, you got healed. There was a man, Jesus showed up, wasn't even in the water. He said, hey, when you can't come to water will come to you. Jesus said he was the bread of life and he's the living water. If you can't get in the water will come to you. You want to go? Go. Take your bed up and walk. And the man was like, wait, bye. It's crazy. God does some amazing things. You're one touch away. Let me show you who else is one touch away. We got to hurry. Paula, can you show them Alex? Let's go to Alex. This man gets in the water 2018, probably, I don't know, maybe November 2018. His name's Alex. He gets in. What's your name, Alex? Where are you from? He told me. I said, why are you in the water? He said, well, I was going to say this, but I feel like I needed to tell the truth.
There you go.
I said, yeah, let's do that. Let's tell the truth. He said, okay. I'm in the water because I'm a full-blown homosexual. All I've ever known is sleeping with men since I was a little boy. I want God to heal me. Can God heal me? I said, absolutely. Not only can He heal you, God will heal you. It's one thing to know that God can do something. It's another thing to know that He will.
Amen.
We laid hands on that man, put him in the water. I don't know how to explain it. When that man got up out of the water, something came out of that man that I've never heard to this day, and I don't know whether I've ever heard it in my life. This roar. Ah! It went on for like 3 minutes. It was like coming from deep within here. God healed that man of homosexual spirit. That night set him free. Watch. Here's how I know. I leave, and 3 years later, 2021-ish, I'm in Bowling Green, Kentucky. It's 2:30 in the morning. We're baptizing. 2:30 in the morning. Little girl with the camera. She's taking the picture. She comes up. She taps me on the shoulder. I turn around. She said, hey, can I tell you something? I said, yeah. She said, do you remember Alex that you baptized in Dawsonville? I was like, sweetheart, you need to be more specific. At that time, we baptized about 31,000 people. I was like, Alex, I'm sure, yeah. She said, no. African-American, big guy. Told you he was a homosexual. I said, yeah, Alex. I said, God set him free that night. She said, yes, he's my best friend. He's been free for 3 years. 3 years. God set him free.
Amen.
Little Reed was 9 years old. Him and his mama drove down from Delaware. I think they said they drove 12 and a half hours to come to Delaware, to come to Dawsonville from Delaware. I said, Reed, what are you in the water for, son? 9 years old. He said, well, I'm legally blind in my left eye. Oh, that's what the doctors tell me. But I want God to heal me. You think He will? I was like, I know he will, Reed. His mama started crying. Look at that, there's Reed right there. He said, that's his mama right here. She started crying. She said, legally blind. I said, what happened? She said, when he was born, at 11 months old, they discovered he had glaucoma in both eyes at 11 months old. Very rare. So they did bilateral surgery on his eyes at 11 months old. She said, the right eye, perfect. The surgery took. The left eye, didn't affect it at all. She said, he's like 3,200 over, I don't even know, Coke bottle on his left eye. Nothing for the right. It was clear. I mean, his glasses were clear on the right side. He didn't need any help. But the left side was like a Coke bottle. Took his glasses off. They said, you'll never play baseball. You'll never play football. You'll never drive a car. You can't play sports. You're legally blind. You understand, Mama? She's like, I understand. But they heard that God was moving in a little old pool in Dawsonville, Georgia. That pool. One pool. That one pool is where God started moving. Now we've got six pools in our church. Amen. It takes six now. Yep. We've baptized people from Guam, Tokyo, Japan, Amsterdam, Australia, Botswana. They come from all over. We had a woman come one night. She said, y'all going to have to build a wall and cut every TV camera off because my family is Muslim. And if they find out I'm here, they will execute me when I get home. But I heard God was here, the one true living God, and I want Him. Amen. My family has no idea that I'm here. Weeping. We're Muslim. But I believe there's another God out there. I said, there is, and His name's Yahweh. Jesus paid a great price for you to find Him and Him find you. That woman got so touched that night. People come from all over. We're getting the water on Sunday nights at like 8 o'clock and get out Monday morning at 6:30. 379 people, non-stop, not a break. That's not natural. It's supernatural. Supernatural. I'm leaving to go home to take a nap before my work day on Monday, and I'm going into my house, and Paul is leaving to go to work. Baptized all through the night, 379 people. And at 6:30 in the morning, God was still moving just as powerful as He was at 8 o'clock Sunday night. One more. Let's show one more. Who do I want to show? Lord, who do we want to see? Does July 17th mean anything to anybody? During worship, I heard July 17th. What does that mean to somebody in the room?
My mama's birthday.
Your mama's birthday. You're the one that just came down and got that book out of my hand. Come here. Bonnie? Your mama's birthday is July 17th. Did you and I have any conversation today at all about your mother, July 17th, anything?
No, we did not.
Did you and I have a conversation about Miss Bonnie and her mother, July 17th?
Yep.
During the worship, I'm sitting right over here. I hear July 17th. And that's your mom's birthday? Yes. Where does your mom live?
She lives in Glenoma.
Okay.
Just down the road.
Just down the road.
Yes.
Is Mama okay? What's going on with Mama?
So Mama has ulcerative colitis. She had
Beth. Yeah. Listen, I'm gonna throw this microphone out there somewhere. You can't script this stuff, and you'll understand why in just a moment. Okay. Beth Raptus, ulcerative colitis. How long has she suffered? Please don't say 46 years.
No, not 46 years. But
okay.
It has been since probably 20 years.
20. Okay. What's her name again?
Jan.
Can we back it up to Adam only? This woman right here, Miss Beth, watch this, y'all. 46 years ulcerative colitis. What's your mom suffering with?
Ulcerative
colitis?
Yes.
Same thing.
Yes.
When's her birthday?
July
17th. You and I have had no conversation.
No, that is correct.
You and I have had no conversation.
Yes.
Have you and I had any conversation about her? We went to lunch today. I just want to make sure. Danielle, you came by the cabin, you and your boy, you came by. Did we have any conversation about Miss Bonnie and her mama, July 7th? You have to make sure.
Right.
You want to make sure.
Yep.
There's too much goofiness in the church.
Amen.
Too many. Yep. We want to make sure we're solid. July 17th.
That's correct.
Okay. And her name's Jan. Also of colitis.
Yes.
20 years. Yes. This young boy got in the water in 2018. He said, my name's Adam. I'm from so-and-so, and I'm not in here for myself. I'm in here for my mother. She's in South Carolina right now. He's in Dawsonville, Georgia right now. He said, my mother has ulcerative colitis. The same thing your mama Jan has. And she suffered 46 years. It's so bad she has to carry two bags with her with clothing to change clothes. Because it is so nasty of a disease that it will. She couldn't eat anything. If she ate sunflower seeds, it would destroy. It would explode in her body and it's embarrassing. 46 years she was tormented. And this young man says, I've heard what God is doing in this pool of water, and so I want my mama to be healed. We prayed for him, anointed him with oil like James chapter 5 tells us to do, baptized him, he gets up, he goes out, changes his clothes. Watch this. Miss Bonnie, watch this. He's in Dawsonville, Georgia. His mother's in South Carolina. He changes clothes. He calls his mama on the phone. Hey, mama, she said, boy, where are you? And I'm paraphrasing this whole thing. They had a conversation. He said, I'm in Dawsonville, Georgia. Why? She said, oh, my God, son. About 30 minutes ago, I'm sitting in my living room. I'm just minding my own business, watching Wheel of Fortune do whatever she's doing. She said, all of a sudden, son, I felt like fire on the inside of my stomach. And I thought it was, watch this. She said, I thought it was that same fire that I felt after I ate something bad. But I know I ain't ate nothing like that. And it's just a different fire. And she said, something happened. She said, I feel like God healed me. She said, now where are you, son? I done asked you a question. He said, Mama, 30 minutes ago, I'm standing in a pool of water in Dawsonville, Georgia, and a man baptizes me and I get up the same time God touches you in South Carolina. That was in 2018. Miss Beth Raptus eats everything. She said, I couldn't even touch a salad. She's eating two or three a day. She'll eat salad for breakfast. It has not had one issue since her boy got in that way. Not one issue. That's her testimony. She's been on the ISN network. She's been interviewed by Sid Roth. She goes everywhere and tells her story. Jesus healed me through my son's faith. So, were you planning on getting the water tonight?
I was planning on getting in it tomorrow, but I can change my mind.
That's totally up to you. I'm just offering to you that Jesus in John 5 stirred the water one time a year. In February of 2018, God stirred some water in Dawsonville, Georgia that has begun to ripple in South Carolina, Lexington, Kentucky, Haiti, Honduras, Seoul, Korea, Kenya. They're baptizing in Kenya and watching people get miraculously healed. Why? Because God wants to do it anywhere and everywhere. Whenever you get in, tonight, tomorrow night, that is totally up to you. But I'm telling you right now, I am a believer that when you get in, that point of contact, God is going to do something so beautiful, not just for your mother, Miss Bonnie, but something for you too.
Amen.
He's got something for you too. There's something that's been promised to you, Miss Bonnie, something you've been wanting and longing for, it's like been delayed. And the Lord says, I break the back of delay off of you. Something you've been hoping for, believing for, and contending for, and it has not come to pass. The Lord said, tell Miss Bonnie, this too shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. It shall. In Jesus' mighty name. My God, I'm excited. Who has ringing in your ears? How long have you suffered with ringing in your ears?
Forever.
Long time. So many years. Are you tired of that?
So tired.
Okay. Were you planning on getting the water sometime tonight or tomorrow night?
I wasn't sure.
I'm not going to tell you what to do. Listen, I'm just a preacher. I'm just the one who's got a microphone just saying, hey, the Lord wants to heal people. I don't know. You do what you want to do. I'm just saying that ringing has been paid for.
Amen.
That ringing in your ears has been paid for. We have receipts. It's called the Word of the Living God. By His precious stripes. See, most people think Jesus just came to save them. And that's it. He did come to save you. But He also came to die and bear wounds on His back so that you and I could walk in wholeness.
Amen.
Just one touch. One touch. Whose right knee has been affecting you so bad? Just like, I don't know what's going on. Is that you with the hat? That's you? With your right knee? Is it you too? Harold, right?
Yes.
That's not a word of knowledge. I want to be sure. Because people go, oh my gosh, I didn't know his name. I introduced myself to him before the service. I want to make sure. I want to make sure everything's balanced.
Yep.
I ask you your name. That's how I knew it was Harold. Is your right knee?
Yeah, absolutely.
And your right knee? And your right knee? Crystal? Is it Crystal? Yeah. Who else? Your right knee. Can we just stand?
Yeah.
I'm going to do my best to get out of the way so Jesus can come get in the way. Who else suffers or knows somebody with ulcerative colitis? She's the only one. That's amazing. July 17th.
Yes.
Ulcerative colitis, Miss Beth. Yes.
I'm not sure what it is, but my cousin Tyson has just been diagnosed legally blind in both eyes.
Legally blind in both eyes. Were you planning on getting in the water sometime tonight or tomorrow night?
Matt.
My God in heaven. I'm telling you right now. Why water? I don't know. Can God heal in the altar? Sure. And He can heal you at home. But if it haven't, if it's not happened yet, if it hadn't happened yet,
yeah,
just saying, I don't know. Here's what I tell people. What have you got to lose?
Amen.
Can I show one more testimony?
Yes.
Can I show one more testimony?
Yes.
Mind-blowing testimony. How many of you in the rooms, honestly, could say, I've never seen a miracle in my life? Be honest. If you could say, I've never... Like, we know childbirth, oh, that's a miracle. It is, I get it. But I'm talking about a full-blown miracle that you know Jesus did something, God did something. You've never seen a miracle. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. Watch this. Brenna. Put Brenna up there. And then do we have somebody that can play gently on the keys or maybe play some music over the... Nope, the other one. Yeah, that's it. So this is Brenna. 2018, God's doing something in little old Dawsonville, Georgia, which, by the way, Dawsonville, Georgia is known for two things. Some of y'all probably already know. Dawsonville, Georgia is known for two things. That's it. NASCAR, because it originated in North Georgia area, because men were trying to get moonshine to South Carolina and Alabama, and they couldn't outrun the cops. True story. True story. And so they started racing in pastures to see who had the fastest cars. They would put all the moonshine in that person's car, and they would pay him a cut to traffic moonshine. NASCAR was founded right there. Moonshine. NASCAR and moonshine. That's what we're known for. Still to this day, there's a moonshine festival in Dawsonville. It's been going on for years and years. Every October, there'll be a moonshine festival where they do samples of moonshine. That's all we were known for. Bill Elliott, Wild Bill from Dawsonville. Now Chase Elliott. Anybody NASCAR fans? Me either! Tell my wife all the time. She's a NASCAR fan. I'm like, it's not a sport. She's like, I'll slap the snot out of you. NASCAR and firewater. Moonshine was called firewater. Did y'all know that?
Yeah.
Watch this. This is so the Lord. What the enemy meant for harm, God turns it for His good. What the enemy meant firewater for, what Dawsonville was known for originally, nobody knew Dawsonville unless you knew NASCAR and firewater, moonshine. Now, the most Googled thing in like the entire Southeast, North Georgia Revival.
Come on. Amen.
Fire water.
Amen.
Fire water. The Lord's like, no, I'm reclaiming that.
That's right.
You've had it long enough, devil. I want my stuff back. Somebody tonight needs to come up here and get in this water and say, devil, you've had my stuff for a long time. You've had my health. You've had my children. You've had my mama. You've had something bound up, and I'm coming to get it back.
Come on.
I'm coming to get it back. One touch. One touch. Brenna, in one moment, go back. My wife and I were in the water that night. It was like Braille on her arms. She said, I have anxiety. I'm addicted to drugs. I have suicidal thoughts. And I noticed her arms and I said, sweetheart, what is this? And she said, I don't know how else to do it. I don't want other people to control my pain, so I control it myself. That's why I cut. Jeremiah 30, verse 17. Maybe read it sometime later tonight or tomorrow. Jeremiah 30, 17. The Bible says, God said, I will restore your health and heal your wounds. It's one thing to heal you and deliver you of anxiety, suicidal thoughts. It's a whole other thing to heal your wounds.
Amen.
I said, sweetheart, can we anoint your arms with oil? James chapter 5. If there's any sick among you, let them call upon the elders of the church. They would anoint with oil and pray the prayer made in the name of the Lord Jesus. A lot of people pray it in the wrong name. That's why they're not getting any results. Wrong name. Allah never healed one person.
Amen.
Muhammad never delivered, saved, healed anybody.
Amen.
Confucius, Joseph Smith, none of them.
Amen.
Buddha never healed not one person. And if you go to all those men's graves, their bones are still there.
That's right.
Jesus is the healer.
Yeah.
We prayed the prayer of faith, baptized that girl, she gets up out of the water. Next picture. I've never seen anything like that in my life. You'd have to cut my head off and drag me up and down Carl Road to convince me otherwise. What's the main road out here? 12?
12.
Yeah, you'd have to cut my head off and drag me up and down the full length of 12 and 5.
That's a long way.
Before you could ever convince me that Jesus doesn't heal. I've seen too much, friend. I watched that little girl's arm. She screamed, ah! Baby skin. She goes to the back to change clothes. We're baptizing 5, 6, 10 other people. Screaming from the back room. Ah! She comes out. She said, oh my God, you ain't going to believe this. I said, trust me. I believe it. She said, when I was changing my clothes, I didn't realize, but my back of my legs were cut up worse than my arms. He healed my legs too.
Yes.
Baby skin. She said, how do you explain that? I said, Jeremiah 30, 17. He will restore your health and heal your wounds.
Amen.
He's going to do it tonight. Can we just lift our hands one moment? Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for moving in this house. Lord, you are good. Your mercy endures forever. Nobody can heal but you. Nobody can save but you. Nobody can deliver but you. Nobody can set the addict free, the convict free, the prisoner free, the slave free. It's only you.
Yes.
So Jesus, come in power.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Come in all your glory.
Yes, Lord.
May the Lamb of God receive the full reward of His suffering.
Yes. Hallelujah.
One touch. Every head up, every eye open, and everybody looking around. That's the way we do it sometimes. Why? Because if you can't live for Jesus in here, you'll never make it out there. Heads up, eyes open, and everybody looking around. If you're in this place, a friend invited you. Family member told you about this. You have no relationship with Jesus Christ. You've never repented of your sins. You've never been born again. The Bible says you must be born again.
Amen.
Well, I don't believe that. I just think if you're a good person, you'll make it. That's like saying if I go on top of a 20-foot, 40-story building and jump off, I believe I'll make it when I hit the ground. Listen, gravity will convince you otherwise.
Yeah.
I just believe if I climb up a tower and jump off, I'll be fine when I hit it. I don't believe in death. I don't believe in breaking bones. I don't believe I'll die when I hit the ground. Gravity will convince you. Why? Because it's a law.
Yeah.
You jump off that high, you will splat and you will die, probably broken bones, busted everything. Doesn't matter what you believe, it's what the Bible says.
Yeah. Yeah.
When Jesus said, I am the way, not a way,
the way.
The way.
Amen.
All these people telling you there's other ways, if you give to the poor you'll make it. No, you won't. You'll go to hell helping a lot of old people and a lot of people with money and all that. You'll still burn. Unless you do what Jesus said, you must be born again.
That's right.
You've got to repent of your sins.
Yes.
Well, I want to do it another way. There is no other way.
Amen.
This is us calling out to you saying, this is it.
Right.
I can't promise you that you'll have 50 more opportunities to receive the Lord, but I promise you this, you'll have one right now.
Amen.
You'll have one right now. Heads up, eyes open, and everybody looking around. You've never repented of your sins. You've never confessed Him as Lord. You've never turned from your wicked ways and came out of that sinful lifestyle to pursue Him. You've never done that. But tonight you're not. Pray this prayer. Mean it with all your heart. Say, Lord Jesus,
I believe
You're the Son of God.
You came to die
for me. Rose again on the third day for me. To give me hope and a future. Jesus, tonight, I repent of my sins. I choose to follow You all the rest of my days. Come into my life. Save me now. Set me free. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now watch this. Heads up, eyes open, everybody looking around. You just prayed that prayer. You meant it with all your heart. You just surrendered your life to Jesus and repented of your sins. Prayed the prayer, Jesus, come in. Shoot your hand up way in the sky. Let me see you, wherever you are. Let me see. You just prayed that prayer. I just asked Jesus right now. This is your first time. You just prayed that prayer. First time. You've never prayed that prayer. But tonight you said, I gave my life to Jesus. Is that you? Anybody? Yeah, people say all the time, why do you do that? You trying to embarrass people? No. The Bible says watch and pray.
Yes.
Watch and pray. The Bible says when one person, what's your name, young man?
Devin.
The Bible says when one person comes to the Lord Jesus and repents, the Bible says all of heaven throws a party. But for some reason in the church, we bow your head, close your eyes, go down to the basement, don't let anybody see you. Come on, what is that? We should celebrate. He doesn't have to go to hell. Been set free. Got new life. Anybody in the room autistic? You've been told you're autistic? You have kids that are autistic? Have y'all told me this already?
No.
You never told me this?
No.
A kid or kids? You have two. What's their ages?
10 and 7.
Anybody else? You never told me this?
Nope.
You never told me this? You? Can y'all just line up right here? If you get in the water, great. If not, it's totally up to you guys. I'm just saying, for here right now, autistic. You're either autistic, you've been told you're autistic, or you have children, somebody real close to you, you know. Would you come and stand right here? And who's the one in so much pain you can't turn your neck? It's very painful for you. Where are you? The one that can't turn your neck is very painful. Who is that? Is that you? Pastor Tammy, you didn't tell me that. No, have you?
I told you nothing.
What's going on with your neck?
I have neck surgery.
Do you have trouble turning your head? Wow. Do you know the Bible says Jesus holds the keys of death, hell, the grave, and I believe stiff necks?
Yes.
And bound up knees. Who's the people with the right knee? Come join them, right knee. If you have an issue with your right knee. It was the right knee, right, Crystal? Come here. Those who suffer with tinnitus. Harold as well. If you have tinnitus, would you come and just stand right here? Tinnitus is the ringing of the ears. Yeah. Yeah. Man, I can't wait till... There's going to be so many testimonies. Why? Listen, hey, newsflash, and I got to hurry. We got to get in the water. Newsflash, I don't have a healing ministry. I don't heal anybody. I couldn't heal anybody. I couldn't heal a migraine on a gnat. So all these people, it's my healing ministry and I travel and I heal people. I don't heal nobody. Jesus is the healer.
Amen.
He's the healer. Okay?
Amen.
He's the one that's going to do this. Tinnitus, right knees, autism. The Lord's going to break the back of this thing.
Amen.
Break the back of this thing.
Hallelujah.
Going to break the back of this thing.
Hallelujah.
Migraines. Where were you with migraines? Come here. Just stand down here. Just migraines. How old are you now? 12?
I'm 11.
You got a birthday coming up. When's your birthday?
August 7th.
Wonderful. The Lord has an early birthday gift for you. How long have you suffered with migraines?
For a long time.
For a long time. Is it once a year, once a month, once a week?
Just a lot.
Just a lot. You're sick of it, aren't you? What's your name, sweetheart? It's okay. It's okay. Kendall. Kendall. Kendall, Jesus paid a great price for this. You hear me? And it's going to bring him great joy when hell bows its knee. You hear me? May you never forget this moment. All the rest of your days. Were you planning on getting in the water tonight or tomorrow night or some point? Listen, people say, why do you keep pushing the water? I'm not. I'm pushing Jesus.
Amen.
Listen. If Jesus is meeting people like at a car auction, I would go there. If Jesus is meeting people at Waffle House, y'all don't have Waffle House up here. Y'all need Waffle House. If Jesus were meeting people at, what do y'all have?
IHOP.
I would be there. If he's meeting people in the water, why would you not go? I tell people all the time, what do you have to lose?
Amen.
What do you have to lose? My friend, darkness, I'm speaking to something beyond you, okay? I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to something beyond you. I'm addressing something beyond you. When I say darkness, your hour is over.
Amen.
Darkness, your hour is over.
Amen.
Those foul migraines, when Jesus climbed Calvary's mountain with a crown of thorns upon his head, he was buried on the place called the place of the skull. Got victory on a mountain called the place of the skull. So may tonight, in the place of your skull, Jesus get victory for you. Right there. Right there. No more migraines. Whatever's causing this imbalance to trigger, it's broken. Its power is stripped, made null and void. And Jesus, the healer, stretches forth his hand to heal this precious little girl. And all the rest of her days, all she will ever be able to tell anybody is that Jesus healed me. Jesus healed me. Jesus healed me. There's a married couple in the room. You've been trying to have a child and you're not able to have a child. You're a married couple. You've been trying to have children. You can't. Where are you? There's a married couple that's want to have a child and they can't. Been told they can't. Anybody? I feel that. Maybe that's for tomorrow night. Maybe the Lord's saying, you're done for tonight. Get ready for tomorrow night. I don't know. He's going to meet you in the water. Can we just lift our hands, all those down front? Autism, you have been stripped of your power long enough for these precious children. Lord, everyone standing in the gap. Right now, Father, I thank you that like that woman with an issue of blood, we just stretch our hands forth. We see us touching the hem of your garment. Lord, and that point of contact releases healing for these precious children. Autism. Darkness. Your hour is over. Loose these children. Loose these people. Loose these men and women. Set them free, Lord Jesus. May they have a testimony like no other. Every ringing ear. If you have tinnitus, ringing ears, just put your hands over your ears. If you have ringing tinnitus, put your hands over yours. Father, thank you that according to Romans 8:11, you stretch forth your hand and quicken by the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the grave. He Himself would quicken their mortal bodies. Yeah. Migraines, autism, tinnitus, the right knee. Just put your hand on your right knee. Father, right now, the pain, Lord Jesus, the pain. It's been paid for, Lord. So I thank you that tonight they get to be relieved of these symptoms in Jesus' mighty name. Ligaments, tendons, ACL, MCL, Lord, kneecaps, all these things be repaired, restored, refreshed in the mighty name of Jesus. Going back to walking and leaping and running, doing things they haven't been able to do in a long time, Lord, for the glory of God. For the glory of God. For the glory of God. Okay, Pastor Tammy, how do we do the system for baptisms? What do we do? What, My God, let's give Jesus needs a hand of applause for what he's doing. It's coming. I believe it. Victory. No more migraines. My God. To be able to go the rest of your days and say, Jesus, on April the 8th.
Ninth.
Came from Georgia. We came a long way. I drove 19 hours, I think, yesterday. My God. No, we flew into Portland, but we drove all over because we had to see your mountains.
Yeah.
They're gorgeous.
Yeah.
You'll never ever forget April 9th, 2026. Jesus did what Jesus does, and he healed me and set me free. May you tell everybody what he did in Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right, Pastor Tammy. Who gives the instruction? We're ready to get in that water.
So,
my God.
So can I have everybody go back to your seats? Again, what he did in Georgia, he'll do in Randall.
Amen. Washington. Yeah.